This is the Uptick Newswire Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube to stay up to date on penny stock news and interviews, public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world, with your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, I'm bringing you a brand new company, and we've been tracking this company for the last 3 or 4 months here at Uptick Newswire. We're talking no other than MGX Minerals, Inc. Not only are they an industrial metals and mineral company, but they're also a technology company. They trade on the OTCQB, ticker symbol MGXMF, and we're very fortunate to have the CEO and director of the company, Jared Lazarin. Jared, welcome back to the show. I greatly appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure.
You know, give my listeners a little bit. You guys are not only in the metals and the minerals, but you also are like a technology company. Tell us a little bit about your company, what you guys are all about.
Sure. Well, we've really taken a step back over the last, say, 4 or 5 years and looked at the broader macro trends and long-term opportunities. We all come from essentially a resource background, the core management from mining. We're based out of Vancouver, so we have a lot of access to expertise and have all developed careers around mining. But we saw an opportunity with this trend towards electric vehicles and just the greater development of infrastructure. The grid as a whole required now to deal with all the electronics and EVs being the real prime driver in this energy and technology shift. But really, we looked at the energy space from a resource side initially. So our first big project was in advanced materials, magnesium. We have one of the largest deposits, certainly the largest new deposit of magnesium in North America. Magnesium metal being quite specialized in terms of stronger, lighter, faster, a third the weight of aluminum and a similar tensile strength. So that was our first big project, but that's just kind of an example. I really want to get back to what is MGX about and how do we get here? Essentially, all things energy. So we're in advanced materials like magnesium, as I mentioned. We're in battery commodities. We have significant interests. I believe we are one of the largest, if not the largest, mineral tenure, mineral rights holder in North America. We have about 2 million acres of lithium brine exploration property. Obviously, only a small part of that will ever be utilized, but we believe in the traditional exploration model is be the biggest and be the best. And we've acquired a lot of lithium brine property. But we've also developed in other ways, which is that we now are involved in specialized extraction of lithium. So not just acquiring the resource, but actually developing new ways to extract that resource. I mean, lithium was a specialty chemical, specialty additive for fertilizer and cement and other applications up until perhaps 20 years ago as things started to kick in with batteries. But before that, and unfortunately, or fortunately for us, creating this opportunity, nobody really did the math on lithium feedstocks. You've had car companies and battery companies and all kinds of upgraders and chemical companies all bringing capacity online in anticipation of what has been predicted, massive demand in lithium and related commodities, but nobody bothered to deal with the feedstock side. Everybody assumed that the mines would get developed and the projects would get developed and everything would proceed as kind of traditionally would happen. The problem is the technology really wasn't there. So you now have these very long-term projects, very expensive CapEx projects that aren't going to add to the lithium supply equation for many years. And some of the processes, for example, with lithium brine that take up to 2 years to concentrate the lithium so it can even be produced, we've now been able to do in a day or 2 days. Our residence time is about, on average, 8 hours. So we might be able to do 3 runs a day of lithium brine. Where it used to take 2 years, and it's gonna take more than a day worth of production to really make a dent in the whole supply equation. But the point being, opportunity. An old method is the primary producer for lithium. Well, how can this be? You have a situation where the new gasoline now takes a precedence over other investments. Everybody wants to be in that space. The giant companies are now in this space, yet you're using this, I don't want to say archaic, but this old technology. And it's always assumed that the old technology is a relatively cheap technology. In this case, not true. So you have a very expensive technology with a solar evaporation because you have to clear so much land. You have to double line ponds. It takes years for production. So there's a cost of money right there. We've turned the paradigm on this. We've developed a method for extracting lithium from brine using very advanced technology and chemistry, all from water treatment, all basically proved out, just modified for the mineral extraction side. So big picture, and I'm just kind of giving you a little peek under the sheets here, a peek in the cupboard, but really many aspects. The other piece I'll add is, so energy commodities, energy processes, some, you know, more direct assets along those lines, advanced materials. But the other piece really being in, we're actually in mass storage. We acquired from a mining major that everyone would know. We acquired a mass storage company, Zinc Air Batteries, a very advanced fuel cell type battery. So now as well, the third piece of the equation, mass storage processes, resources, and then also now within kind of the battery space itself. Very low-cost system as an alternative to lithium, actually, as a diversification. Very inexpensive for large-scale mass storage, totally useless for almost any other application because it's large-scale, but in this one area, which is a massive area, we may have the low-cost solution overall, probably a tenth. You know, our engineers are pegging at about a tenth the cost of a lithium batteries, but only a mass storage application. Can't be used in cars, can't be used in phones, anything like that. So, long and the short, MGX, all things energy, whether it's clean tech related to oil and gas or other fossil fuels, or exclusively in the renewable space, we've got our fingers in a lot of pies.
Company that we're highlighting today is MGX Minerals, Inc. They trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol MGXMF. Let me ask you this, Jared. Recently, you guys filed a 43-101. Can you give us an update, and what did that mean to the company?
Sure. So this 43-101 was the second major engineer report related to our magnesium project. This is a big one. So the original resource estimate from a year ago, just over 8 million tons measured and indicated resource. That's measuring the magnesium oxide, which is like the kind of precursor to the magnesium. Also an excellent product unto itself. Magnesium supplements, so what people take as vitamins. It's also used in animal feed quite heavily. The cows need the magnesium. It's a very important supplement for animals. Also used in fertilizer. So for plants, for animals, for people, one of the largest commodities globally, over 10 million tons a year used. I think U.S., Canada's about a million tons a year, so very significant demand. Anyway, that resource has been now defined in a preliminary economic assessment. The net present value on that, based on a 20-year mine life, is just over $500 million. That's Canadian, so call it $450 U.S. But in that half billion dollar ballpark, a net present value, free cash from the project, in excess of $1 billion, CapEx in the $250 million range. So that net present value and free cash numbers are both ex CapEx in terms of the profitability. That's based on magnesium oxide. Like I said, that basic feedstock and commodity. And now we've just engaged Hatch Engineering. They're just coming with a proposal to then upgrade that a further step, or have part of the supply chain go to production of the magnesium metal. Just another cornerstone asset in the company. And we try and do this with all our assets. We have large holdings of lithium, magnesium, obviously, silicon. We're now also in rare earth as well, but not to get too spread out. The point really being is that we like to advance our assets. So, you know, holding land is great, but when it comes to, you know, really what that value is, we'd like, you know, making these strategic spends on exploration or on process design technology that then acts as a core asset of the company, and is in particular is packaged up. So it's not just, you know, a line on a spreadsheet or, you know, a single technical report. It's something that, you know, we can advance and monetize and eventually commercialize, or it can be sold or joint ventured, but that we really don't have any kind of dead money or, you know, sitting investments within the company. It's the nature of, you know, resource companies to explore and develop, technology companies to, you know, develop their technology and kind of go down whatever path that may take. We're a little more disciplined and strategic about it. It may not seem like it sometimes, to our shareholders, because like I said, we've got a hands in a lot of pies, but we believe that diversification is one of the best value drivers. And the Magnesium Project, it was our first, it was our listing property, and we're really impressed. The pre-tax IRR is 24.5%, and I think post-tax you're very close to 20% IRR on that 20-year mine. It's exciting. It's quite nice.
Jerry, we're kind of running out of time. I do want to wrap things up, but in closing here, two questions for you. Where do you see the energy industry going from here? And two, what do you have, your final words that you'd like to wrap up, something maybe we didn't touch upon that you would like to get out to the listeners?
Sure. Energy industry, I think it's the place to be. I think we're even beginning to see traditional energy industry kicking into gear here. I just think that the overall profile for energy just is extremely strong right now. I think, again, what's happened is this shift to electric vehicles and electronics and just this high energy consumption world that we live in. Nobody's really done the math on the infrastructure requirements. And I don't necessarily mean the power plants, although I think that's part of it. Renewables, I think, can soak up a portion of that. 10 or 20% overall, I think, is can be handled. But I think we're in a world now where energy demand is going through the roof for a variety of reasons. I think that there's been a lot of kind of in-between capacity. So not the end-use consumer side capacity or industrial side capacity, but these in-between steps. So, the car companies, so the electric vehicle companies, the car companies now going into electric vehicles, but they're not really involved with providing the power that's required. So you have a bottleneck there. Again, on these basic commodities, and more importantly, the processes for these commodities, or alternatively, the clean tech side of, for example, oil and gas. We have our water technology, for example, that is used to extract the lithium and other salts as necessary, we can make money on, but really extract the lithium is a core technology that was actually developed for water cleaning. And like I said, our initial contracts are actually for water purification related to oil sands. So you have now a technology that can both separate out all the junk, the crap that's coming out of the related to oil production. Oil sands is pretty dirty, so oil sands production, but even wastewater coming out of production wells, Standard Oil and Gas, if it's got lithium in it, we can both extract the lithium, we can also clean the water. So I think there's clean tech applications. So really this trend, okay, there's a transition going on to renewables from fossil fuels, but that trend is going to take many, 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 many years, and it will take all different forms. So we like investment, we like exposure to not just the far end of renewables and solar panels and things like that, but really all aspects of it. So energy industry, I think, is the place to be right now. I think it's massive, and I don't see anybody saying, okay, 10 years from now, the world's going to use less lithium, or the world's going to need less power. So all the macroeconomic trends, but as we all know, it's very easy to kind of head down the wrong path if you bet too heavily in one way, and maybe you're wrong. So again, we like diversification in the space, but overall, energy is, I think, just it's the place to be right now, and you see it in all aspects of the energy industry. The other piece of the question really is, what's the last thought here? And I think that, the big thought was what I just really said. But I guess the last piece of it is, as with any company that's kind of moving into the mid-tier range, moving into revenue and related profitability, I think it's step by step and be a little bit conservative. I think that's the one thing with our company we've done very well with is, even though you want to be aggressive, even though you want to tackle sometimes the problems that nobody else wants to deal with, at the same time, we try and maintain a certain conservatism in our investment strategy. We're now at the point where we buy technologies, we commercialize technologies. We are about to spin off, we're about to dividend out our mass storage company, because that's a big enough deal that needs a life of its own. So we're about to pay a dividend. But again, we're kind of coming at this somewhat new space, redefining it in many ways in terms of at least lithium extraction, but also trying to bring some more traditional structure to what would be a traditional growth company. So this year, for example, we will be paying a dividend. We will see revenue before the end of the year. We're not your traditional a bunch of guys just really kind of going for it and focused on massive growth. We like to return to our investors and our shareholders. And we're kind of making that our mandate, you know, as of this year, of, you know, pay dividends and monetize and sometimes, you know, focus on monetizing and paying dividends and taking care of your shareholders ahead of living the dream. I think it's a little bit more conservative investment strategy or corporate strategy than most. So I think there's a place, and it really models the energy industry. I think there's really a place for everyone in these types of organizations and in these types of sectors that are just tremendously diversified, but also have huge traditional components, you know, on top of a clear move to a modernization, you know, the electric vehicle thing cannot be denied.
Well, Jarrett, you've definitely said a lot today. You said it all. I greatly appreciate you coming on our show and giving us an update. We've been talking to Jarrett Lazarin. He is the CEO and director of MGX Minerals, Inc. They trade on the OTCQB. Take a look at them. Their stock's only at 67 cents, probably very, very undervalued here. And their ticker symbol is MGXMF. Jarrett, thank you very much for your time. Hopefully you'll come back on the show in about 40 or 50 days and give us an update.
Certainly. Thank you so much.
This program is entirely sponsored and produced by Uptick Newswire, LLC, which is responsible for the content. The opinions and information provided on this program are those of the guests and those of the respective companies they represent and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff or management of Uptick Newswire. Uptick Newswire encourages all listeners of this program to do their due diligence and research when determining investment strategies that will work for them or to seek the assistance of an investment professional. The guests of this program may have paid for its distribution and are not directly affiliated with Uptick Newswire or this station.